What's up, everybody? I'm The Hook.
And I'm The Blade.
And together we're, you know.
Welcome to The Hook Blade Podcast, a show about all things
U.S. politics,
Assassin's Creed. I'm your host, Lawson, and I'm joined as usual by your host, Tim Burton.
Hello.
It's been a while, dude. It's been a minute.
It's been a couple minutes. The standard Pokemon Hook Blade. A hook and a blade. I was pulling my mic out from its corner on my desk, and it literally had dust on it. I literally dusted off the old microphone to get going on the hooky blade again.
Let me just dust off the old microphone real quick. What have you been up to on this long break from podcasting? What kind of valuable and educational exploits have you filled your time with?
Well, the holidays happened, and that's always a clusterfuck.
It's always a good time.
Especially.
Or a bad time.
Especially around this time of our existence as people.
Yeah.
Let's see. What interesting things have I even done at all? I'm trying to think, because I know I have some anecdotes I'd like to share.
Do you?
Fuck. I'm going to pass it to you, and if anything pops in my head, then I'll say it.
Yeah, we'll come back to you. You can just interrupt me mid anecdote. I don't know. I've been chilling. I got a VR headset that's been pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
Playing poker in VR a lot to replace the empty void of social interaction that currently is my life. I'm starting classes this Monday, and I'm also an intern at a Hollywood studio now, and that's fun.
That's right.
And I got a job, so busy days. Oh, and I found out yesterday I probably have COVID, so that's fun.
Yeah,
it was just a matter of time, really. But everyone, keep me in your thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, everyone, do that. I've been meaning to ask you a question. So
please do.
And this might sound like ridiculous to ask, right? But okay.
Okay.
So that, like, TVs, monitors, screens in general, right? Like, you were telling me about how our Samsung has like an OLED screen, apparently.
Oh, our phones?
Our phones. Yeah. Like, we have the same phone.
Yeah.
So they both have an OLED
screen. We have the S10 Plus. It has a beautiful OLED screen.
Right. Okay. So my question, so I keep thinking, like, you know, as we're getting into like 4K televisions are pretty prominent right now in people's homes. I guess 8K eventually will be a thing. And like, I know that like QLEDs and whatnot, like they're supposed to like give you a bigger spectrum of color and whatnot to pull from.
Yeah.
At what point are we just going to exceed what our eyeballs are able to process? Is that ever going to happen?
I mean, debatably, we already have. I don't believe anybody who tells me they can look at an 8K monitor side by side with a 4K monitor and tell me they see a difference. Now, I know everyone says that every time there's a jump, that like, how am I supposed to tell the difference between 1080p and 720p? So maybe I'm just talking out of my ass here. Maybe I'm just blowing this right out my ass cheeks. But I really feel like I could never imagine what 8K looks like having any difference or impact on my enjoyment of visual content. I just can't picture it. I've seen plenty of 8K. I up until the pandemic, I worked at Best Buy and I had to walk past a wall of 8K monitors every time I went to piss. So I've seen it. Okay. I know what it looks like. And could I tell you side by side blindly which one is 8K and which one's 4K? No. No, not a chance. And that's why I think like things like OLED and micro LED in the future, that's going to be more important, because you can actually tell the difference.
Right.
With those technologies, they make a difference to have an OLED. High refresh rate also will be a big deal depending on certain applications. But do I think anyone's really pushing to have 8K content and presentation? I hope not. Seems like such a waste of data and size and space and everything. Just seems like a waste of time.
Yeah, I guess I just, because like, for instance, right, like filming things in black and white is a way that like like, it's not natural. We don't see in black and white. So there are maybe some things that are going to appear on a camera that's filming in black and white that we wouldn't see normally. I mean, you kind of get that with, like, when you put things under, like, a black light, you know, and you can see semen. So,
okay.
Like, whatever. Let's just keep going. Let's move on.
I don't think I know where you're going with that, but, speaking of semen, so
Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag,
Assassin's Creed Valhalla. So a couple notes at the top of the show, by the way, guys, we have, as you might have noticed, a new design, new aesthetic, for no real reason other than that it gives me something to do and I like to do it.
Well, it's also a new year. It's a new year.
It's a new era of Hookblade, a new season of Hookblade. Just sort of moving away from the, like, Northern Lights motif that was very Valhalla-centric, but kind of keeping that mint green because it's a foxy color. It's really sexy. And, you know, it just sort of respects our roots. You know what I mean? It's just sort of how we stay in touch with our roots. But also, alongside this new design, we do have a new upload schedule because of my aforementioned clusterfuck of a life that includes classes, interning, and working.
And COVID.
All from the comfort of my bedroom. We're going to try this. We're going to go a little bi-weekly. We're going to be a little less frequent, just every 2 weeks, just for the near future. And we're going to see how well that works for us. And we'll see how that goes. And we're only uploading now, instead of on Thursdays, we're uploading on Tuesdays. Don't ask why, because it doesn't matter and it's not interesting. It's really easy to remember. Every 2 weeks on Tuesday. Just get that in your brain.
It is two Tuesdays a month.
Two of the Tuesdays every month.
Yeah. Two out of four
every
Tuesdays.
2 weeks on a Tuesday. It's the number two. There are two twos in the year 2021.
There are also two twos in 2020.
Shut the fuck up. Tim. Do you know what we're here to talk about this week?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. What are odds and ends? Well, they're just little things that kind of get they just,
you know, miscellaneous items.
What's the metaphor I'm going for here? Help me out. Come on. Yeah, I don't know. But look, odds and ends, okay? Everyone knows what odds and ends are. I don't need to explain it to you. We're going to talk about some Assassin's Creed news and developments that has sort of come and gone without us really addressing them. So that's everything from, like, the VR game idea to, like, the Yule Festival, some patches, some controversial changes that they've made. All adding to the general feeling, and I'm sure you're going to agree with me on this, Tim, it really seems like since we stopped paying attention to Valhalla and stopped playing it, it's just sort of kept getting shittier.
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, I haven't touched it since we talked about it in depth on the show. I haven't even, I think I booted it up once after that, but it's been probably like, what, a couple months now?
Yeah,
I haven't touched
me
it.
Neither, really. I played around with it on when I got my PS5 to see if it was much better. And I mean, 60 FPS makes everything better, but it's still Valhalla at the end of the day, unfortunately. And that means it's still not that great. So, like, the Yule Festival thing was really interesting. And by really interesting, I mean really boring. But what was interesting about it was how it fucked the game in half in so many different and interesting ways. Like, people talked about, pretty much universally, they would load in drunk anytime they fast travel.
That happened to me in the base game.
But was it during the Yule Festival that it happened to you, or no?
No. It was way before when I was doing my original playthrough of it. Whenever I would load up, I would be shit-faced drunk, and I would have to run around and fight people just to have it wear off.
Yeah, or you'd have to, like, talk to an NPC or something.
Well, it wouldn't go away even then. So what I'm thinking is that the people who are reporting it happening in the Yule Festival, something, that same glitch was just perpetuated among, like, everyone for some reason.
Yeah. I also heard people would load in completely blind with a black screen, and that would only fix by talking to somebody. So you had to navigate yourself from pure memory from where you load in on the settlement to go talk to, like, Gunner or something. Just to have your vision restored.
That's
or like
pretty
echolocation.
Great.
That's pretty fabulous. It was all these things that made me not want to do it. And also the fact that, like, what do I, like, it's okay. So it's snowing and there are some activities like drinking games and shit. I don't even know. I could never care about this. I'm sorry. I mean, I like the idea of like having sort of an update in content of like, hey, here's a new thing you get because it's holidays and because we're a live service, we can just do a holiday thing that only lasts. But, you know, I also, it's also part of the experience that's like, it's time sensitive and it's like, what am I going to get for doing all these activities? Well, apparently some tokens of some sort that'll let me buy some gear that I'm not going to use because I don't play the game anymore. Cause there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
I found all the things. Like, what are people who keep playing the game actually doing? Is it just, are you doing all of the like Reda Radiant missions? Is that the idea?
Is the idea that the Yule Festival is only accessible if you've beaten the game? Because I could see people who are taking their time with it and haven't beaten yet, which is a possibility, that they're just, that like the Yule Festival could be more advantageous to do then because you'd have stuff to take in with you for the rest of your playthrough.
Maybe, but it is available to people who haven't finished the game.
Right.
It was available to everybody. So maybe that's, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's Yule Festival. Tell us in the comments, did you like the Yule Festival? Was that something you actually enjoyed doing? If so, why? Because I just could not be arsed.
To give clarification and see if anyone else had the same issue with the drunking thing, with being drunk, when I first went to Jotunheim, I did the quest where I got blackout drunk with the Jotun, with those damn Jotner. And
those Jotner.
Every time, even after finishing the quest, every time I would load up a Jotunheim, like if I would leave the game and come back into Jotunheim, I'd be shit faced. And so,
yeah. I think it was the fault of the Jotner, the damn Jotner.
Well, I mean, we can blame them for all of our problems and not hold the right people accountable.
I think so too. I love that idea personally. Yeah, so that takes care of the Yule Festival. Though there is a more hilarious change that recently came in a patch. Have you heard of this? Do you know what I'm talking about?
The last thing I heard of is that bosses were level scaled with you.
Yeah, that did happen.
If that's not this, I don't know.
I can't really get a grasp on the significance of that, mostly because I haven't kept playing, but I do know a lot of people who are really upset about the way that they changed level scaling because it made it so, like, I know one person was talking about how they try to keep their character underleveled, and what they would essentially run into, I think this was Obese Ninja 07, one of the mods. It might have been them or Kissex. I don't remember. Someone, if it was you, tell me in the comments who was telling me about this. But they would try to keep underleveled. I think it was Obese Ninja. They would try to keep underleveled so that the game would actually be interesting, challenging, difficult in any way. But then what happened after the update was the bosses wouldn't scale the same way as the enemies in the world did. So if you kept yourself underleveled so that the world enemies would challenge you, then the bosses would just spank you. You had no hope in hell of ever managing the boss. So then you'd have to go back into your menu, level yourself up by tediously allocating all those hundreds of skill points that you have avoided spending. Then you can fight the boss, and then every enemy in the area is piss easy, and you cut them with your sword like a droid in the prequel movies. Like, it's just, it's that drastic. That sounds like a nightmare. I don't like that.
It seems like the whole level scaling thing would worse impact people who were still playing the game as opposed to people who have beaten it.
Definitely, I think so. Yeah. Which is part of why no one will be finished with this game until fucking March.
Yeah, pretty much. Whatever.
Yeah, so there was a post on the subreddit from DomVGT, who's kind of like the patch notes guy. He's always talking about patch notes on Twitter and Reddit. He says, you know, hey, everyone, we want to take a moment to provide you with some information about a recent community discussion revolving around the replacement of diamond rune slots. So, Tim, you know how on your gear you'll have circle rune slots that are just like piss baby runes, and then you'll have diamond runes that are like big boy runes that actually make a difference? Mm-hmm. Apparently, in the most recent update, they just got rid of a lot of those diamond rune slots on gear.
Nice.
Crucially, on mostly the gear that people paid for in the store.
Oh, boy.
They said, our development team has recently discovered that a few gear set items had diamond rune slots by mistake. I'm sorry. How does that happen by mistake? How do you recently discover that? That can't be the case, right? They had to just decide for some other reason to get rid of those, I would think. And then they've said that in an upcoming title update, they're going to replace the diamond rune slots in the Niflheim gear set, the Gothic gear set, the Hell's Damnation gear set. Now, I'm not in tune enough with the game to really understand exactly the extent of this change. Like, it seems like maybe it's only affecting certain items within those gear sets. I guess maybe the idea is that one item is supposed to have a diamond rune and the rest are not supposed to have those diamond runes. But a lot of people bought those gear sets because of the fucking diamond rune slots. And they spent like full on $20 on gear only to have it be just ripped away from them afterwards. And it seems like there's no plan for them to like refund any of those people or even give them back their Helix credits. It seems like a really weird thing to do.
I gotta say, I really have an issue with, I remember I sent you this tweet and it's like, it was from like Ubisoft and they were like, all right, well, we have a list here of all known issues. And it's like the fact that there's even a list of all known issues is a problem, I feel like.
I think most games, at least in the modern era of relying on patches and changes, I think it's a common practice, but the list is pretty long for what
well,
it is.
Well, it's not, but it's just like, generally speaking, like it's not just Ubisoft that does this, obviously, but like, no, I hate how so many issues can just fall through the cracks and affect players like you, and where people have to fucking like replay the first three arcs over and over and over again because of these issues. And they're like, well, fuck it. We'll just fix it in a patch. And if we don't fix it in that one, we'll put out another one. And it's like, I just wish games could come out released, finished,
and not be fundamentally broken on so many levels.
It's like, I get it. Like, bugs and glitches, like that's always going to be a thing. There's always going to be some oversight, and sure, like, and that's where patches can come in really in handy, but this is another fucking level. Like, there are so many issues that, like, I don't think I've seen a single person in our Twitter sphere that hasn't had one like very hindering issue with the game experience.
Yeah.
And in some cases I'd say one out of every three people have had a game breaking bug.
Yeah.
It's fucked.
It's also really interesting when I think about when I compare this experience to what Unity was like at launch. And Unity was pretty broken at launch too, but the majority of Unity's bugs seem to be like visual cosmetic bugs, like people fucking losing their faces and shit and popping all over the place. And it got this huge reputation of everyone talking about how disappointing and frustrating that game was, almost largely because of how buggy it was. And now this game has not really had that experience. I'm trying to figure out, is it because they weren't as easily memeable bugs? Like, we couldn't put a Reddit post with a screenshot of this bug so it didn't go viral? Yeah. Is it because genuinely fewer people are experiencing those bugs? I doubt that very much from experience.
I think it's a mixture of what you're saying, as it's not very memeable. A lot of these things are just very frustrating but not screenshot worthy. I also think the game's length, because you could, you know, let's say you play the game for like 30 something hours and then you're writing an article about it, you may have not seen all of the shit that you could see yet, because I mean, just doing the essentials, it took me like 80 to 90 hours or so, you know. So
the game got increasingly more broken as it went on too, because they prioritize fixing the bugs that more people are likely to encounter.
So I feel like it's a mixture of that, the glitches that people do come across, it's not like they can make a really like that Unity screenshot with the faceless Charles Dorian, you know, that was everywhere. That is funny as in and of itself, because that only affected a handful of graphics cards. Like 98% of people who played the game didn't even ever see that glitch.
And Cyberpunk 2 has a lot more visible, memeable glitches.
For sure.
And excepting like the last gen console experience, which was clearly super fucked for everybody. Like, I almost did feel in general like Valhalla was more broken than Cyberpunk was. And I also have to throw in that, like, I was playing Valhalla a week earlier than it launched, so that was part of the problem, too. Like, I was running into, when I had my game-breaking bug, I believe I was the first person to post about it on the forum. And then by the next couple of weeks, there were hundreds of posts. It was on the known issues list. And that certainly is part of the experience right. as well. But yeah, all in all, I feel like Valhalla is almost, it deserves more hate.
And not even when it comes to like faceless character models or whatever. Once every hour, probably, I would crash and I had to reload it. I mean, that's just not fun. Yeah,
not fun. Not cool. Not very cash money at all.
Not at all.
But you know what's going to be great and not have any problems?
ACVR.
Assassin's Creed on VR. I'm actually able to weigh in on this with some experience because I've been playing VR games recently. I've been trying out a bunch of them. Some of them are great. You know, I love Superhot. I love Beat Saber. It is fun to play poker with a bunch of randos. But I have noticed something about VR, which is that one of the strengths of VR, let me phrase this differently. One of the weaknesses of VR is any game that requires you to be moving.
Right.
Like most games that you're playing in VR, the idea is that you're teleporting from place to place, because if you actually smoothly ambulated between these places, if you smoothly walked between those points, you would get hella motion sick, because from your eyes and your brain, you are moving, but your body is not experiencing motion. Obviously, that's weird, right? Unless you're one of those random, like, rich assholes who has a VR fucking
treadmill.
What are they? The treadmills, the 360 treadmills. I know they make shoes now that are supposed to do that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how they plan on simulating what you can do in like the regular games in terms of parkour in VR. I'm really skeptical of that. Splinter Cell almost seems like the easier one to tackle out of those two, because Hitman is already doing their VR, and I'm sure that there's a lot of crossover in terms of what they would do in a stealth game on VR that Hitman's already doing.
Like maybe it could work. Just maybe. I mean, I can imagine teleporting around a little Tuscan countryside and stabbing people behind their backs. If Hitman's doing it, I guess Assassin's Creed could do it.
I do want to say though that I want to put out like what I think is most likely in terms of map. I think what's most likely to me is that it's going to be like a highlight reel of all of the most famous AC locations. So it will have like Venice and maybe even like Boston. I could see that maybe being different in a VR setting. Definitely a lot of the Ezio locations, maybe some Black Flag stuff. But either way, I just think that it's going to be like you're going to be jumping through these different time periods and through these different maps. I don't know if they're going to make like an original story or an original map for VR. I don't know if that's super likely. I think that's what they're going to do. I think that's what makes most sense to me. But also I want to wager a guess at what the poster is going to look like for it, or rather like the cover for it.
Do you think they're going to put an assassin like Ezio in a VR helmet?
No, close. I think it's going to be like some random schmuck like you or me and like a Brahmin headset with the Abstergo symbol on it. And then it's going to like shooting out from around him is going to be like Italy and Boston and all that. And that's going to be the game. And we're all going to love it.
I think that the problem with that idea is it would require a lot of different assets.
Yeah.
And if they're just porting them in from the old games, if they're just porting them in, there's no guarantee they'll work with whatever the movement system is that they come up with for this game. So
I'm not saying it's going to be the entire map of Venice, but it certainly, it could be a significant
different
chunk.
Arenas. If they do little like squared away gameplay segments, that's totally possible. Also, are these going to be for the Quest too? Because there's only so much you can do with games on the Quest. It's kind of not a super powerful platform, because it's probably got less than a, you know, your average mobile phone
pretty much
hardware inside there. I don't really know. I don't know how it's going to work, but you know what? I like VR. VR is cool. I like Assassin's Creed sometimes. So maybe I'll like Assassin's Creed on VR.
Let me ask you this, Lawson. Do you actually like when and at any point when you're playing AC, have you ever said to yourself like, this would be pretty cool in VR? Imagining that VR is as best as it could be, do you think that the AC experience could be better in VR? Not better, but good.
That's the thing. And here is where it gets interesting for me, is because that phrase you used, the AC experience, unfortunately, is not a phrase that means anything anymore, because there is no such thing as an AC experience.
That's fair.
Because the experience you'll have in Valhalla is fundamentally diametrically different than what you would have out of the AC experience of 2009 or 2014.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Year. And so, like, as a really obvious example of that, you mentioned parkour. And yes, that is a curious idea of how do you do parkour in VR. I think it could work because a couple of the games I've played involve you climbing things and you kind of just have to move your hands to different handholds and pull yourself up, which is immersive and cool and exciting. And you actually get that sensation when you're really high up of like, oh, fuck, I'm really high up. In fact, if you climbed like a viewpoint in ACVR, you would be like shitting yourself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You'd be like, holy Christ, I'm really
high
up.
That's a good point.
If I slip, I could fall and die. That sounds amazing. But if you look at the most recent AC games, parkour doesn't really matter that much.
Well,
so maybe I'm just riding a horse in VR.
That's the thing, Lawson, is it goes back to our discussion about the Netflix show.
Yeah.
This VR experience has to tap into even the most like casual Assassin's Creed players' knowledge of Assassin's Creed. And so it's going to have to be like, you could climb up this viewpoint and they're going to have to focus on parkour a little because your average Joe that goes and walks into GameStop to buy this is going to want to run around on rooftops and stab people. They're not going to want to ride a horse.
And, you know, you still have viewpoints and shit, so you're going to have those in VR theoretically. But I also think about, you know, there was a game that came out on mobile a while ago called Assassin's Creed Identity. Did you ever play that?
I know what it is. I've never played it, but it takes place in Rome.
The idea of it is it's like, well, how do we turn your actual experience of playing Assassin's Creed game into a mobile game? And that is what they do, but it really just means you have a very small map. You can do very basic parkour in. And you can do very basic button presses to, you know, do assassinations and stuff. It's not very open worldy, which I guess the VR game probably wouldn't be either. It would probably just be like, we drop you in a tiny map. You have a linear mission. There's one guy you got to kill at the end of it. And you run around, you do assassin things, and you kill them. And then you play the next level. This is probably what this is going to be. Probably the same for Splinter Cell. I'd imagine if they're both being co-developed at the same time by the same studios, there might be some interesting similarities in terms of design philosophy between the two. And I don't know shit about Splinter Cell, so I can't weigh in on what that would look like for either game.
I know a little. I mean, I've played a couple of them. I think they're gonna have such an easier time with Splinter Cell just because Splinter Cell in stealth games in general. In terms of stealth games that are as stealthy as Splinter Cell, they kind of promise the idea of being patient, moving slowly, waiting for guard paths, and just overall being incredibly patient and waiting for the right time to move. And I think I think that really helps them with VR because the less you are, the slower the pace, I imagine, the easier it'll feel, right? Like,
yeah.
So, definitely. And in terms of like Splinter Cell does have a lot of like you're climbing up on the rafters and you're kind of like climbing on pipes on the ceiling and whatnot. And that's very easily simulated through VR. So they're going to have a really easy time with Splinter Cell, I think, compared to Assassin's Creed. I think in terms of the Assassin's Creed VR experience, so long as they give you a hidden blade and they can let you like kind of scale buildings in that way that you were describing, and like just air assassinating a guy in VR would probably be kind of cool.
That would be pretty weird. They got to be careful with how they do this because, I mean, there's like a game on the fucking VR store that I looked at. It was called like Richie's Plank Experience or something. And it really is just a game that puts you at the top of a tower and you have to walk out on a little plank and be scared shitless by it. And they charge $15 for that. And there are all these warnings and things that they ask you to do. They're like, you should have two spotters when you play this game standing around you in case you fall. That's something that they actually have to tell you to do. And I can't speak from experience as to whether that's necessary because I'm not paying $15 to step out on a plank. But it makes me wonder, like, in terms of the motion experience and the comfort level of it, how crazy can they really go? How well can they do the viewpoints? How well could they do an air assassination without genuinely risking making people sick when they play it, is the question. And the answer is like, do they just not do those things? Do they just put you inside and just change the entire perspective of the game? Or do they have you controlling somebody in a weird third person way that VR games sometimes do, and do it that way? That could be kind of interesting. I bet I would have a lot less motion sickness if I was playing an Assassin's Creed game in VR that was still third person and I was just watching.
You know, that's around. That's not a bad point. I think that could kind of even kind of simulate the whole Assassin's Creed Identity thing you were talking about.
Right. And then it's just about putting yourself in the world and having the sort of immersive experience.
Right.
And maybe it shifts you into first person at strategic moments, so you get that oh shit factor of climbing a viewpoint.
I do think the first person aspect of it might be the selling point when it comes to viewpoints and like maybe a leap of faith or whatever. But you're right in that there is the risk of making people sick and whatnot. So I don't know. I feel like doing a leap of faith in VR not in first person would suck.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. So, you know, we've talked about VR. We talked about these patch notes. I've been wanting to ask you, Tim. I've been wanting to ask you. Can I ask you a question?
Are you asking me to prom?
How'd you know? How do you feel about Assassin's Creed in general, as a brand, as a product, as a thing, as a fandom community, a thing you're a part of? Like, let me take your pulse. Where's your heartbeat at with Assassin's Creed?
It's not looking good. I might fall into cardiac arrest here soon. Yeah, you know, look, like when Odyssey was coming out and I was very absent from the whole hype cycle of that, and I wasn't active on AC Twitter very much during that time, and or the subreddit, that was kind of where I fell off the subreddit for a while. I just kind of felt like, oh, you know, it's just going through a phase, you know, it's just acting out. It's being impulsive and sometimes
being rebellious.
Sometimes you have to let the teenager go to the party and get drunk, you know, and just make sure that he doesn't drive home drunk. I feel like right now, though, they're getting behind the wheel and they're starting and they're not calling us for a ride home. They're not setting up a designated driver. They're just fucking getting in the car and they're hitting the gas, you know, and if they hit a mailbox, they hit a mailbox. And I feel like the mailbox at the moment. And I'm not.
Yeah, but I mean, worst case scenario, they just fly off the side of a bridge and they go into the water and you never see or hear from them again.
That's the most likely progression of this, right? Is like, I think Assassin's Creed is gonna fucking just bury itself if it keeps going this route, because they're gonna alienate everyone that made the game successful, I feel like, to a certain degree. Obviously, like me and you and like Tarul, we're not the ones that are making AC sell very well, obviously. But what I mean is, eventually, Assassin's Creed isn't going to mean anything. As you said earlier, the AC experience doesn't mean anything anymore. And so it's like being a fan of Assassin's Creed. Like, what does that mean exactly? Like, what are you a fan of? What am I a fan of? Am I a fan of kind of historical accuracy? You know, like. What am I a fan of right now? And if you had asked me when I went to the Revelations Midnight release when I was 11 years old, why I'm an Assassin's Creed fan, I could give you 10 reasons. Now I could maybe give you one or two. I'm not happy with it. I feel, and obviously that's kind of the motif of this podcast, right? It's not being happy with Assassin's Creed, but.
And this is good, I think, to refresh ourselves on in this episode, our first episode of 2021, because we're going to have an idea by the end of the year where it's going. Is it getting on the bridge and getting really shaky and suspenseful and like, oh God, this could be it. Or is it like, hey, they pulled over and they called us and they said, Mom, I'm not okay. And now we maybe have a chance.
Right. And we're not mad. We're just disappointed.
We're getting the minivan. We can drive to where they are.
Right.
You know, maybe call a tow truck or something or find a way to find a place to park on. We drive them home and they can tell us in the car. They can be like, Mom, I really fucked up. And he'd be like, hey, it's okay, son. You have to learn from your mistakes. Assassin's Creed in this case is a teenage son because boys are stupider than girls are. And because they never advertise women in the franchise.
The sister is at home studying.
Yeah, the AC sisterhood is at home being a very good child. they're not doing anything wrong, and we love them. We love them.
Right.
But as far as Assassin's Creed goes, that rascal, listen. And I struggle with this because, like, I'm an eternal optimist. I don't know if you know that about me, but I'm a very optimistic person in life in general. We're not going to get too deep into this because we actually have a real fun, epic time planned for our next episode. We're having on as a guest, Mr. NStav13, who is a working game developer person, and he has some insights, some thoughts to share on the recent spate of leaks. And, you know, I say quote unquote leaks because they're not really leaks, are they, Tim? They're pretty much what's another good word? Lies. They're lies that people are telling that are not based in fact or reality.
They're not leaks. What's another good word? Bullshit.
Someone did an MS Paint map of India, and we're going to talk about it next episode.
To preface our positions on it, they're kind of BS, but we'll talk about them, I guess.
And the most exciting, or the one that everyone's picking up, is this idea that in 2022, like maybe quarter one of 2022, we're going to get a smaller game that is, and I'm fusing a couple of different rumors together because they're pretty compatible, but this idea that the next one will be set in like medieval France and Germany, like medieval Europe, basically in general, and that it's going to be, they've said a fantasy take on Assassin's Creed. And
as if that hasn't already been a thing.
As if they haven't been fantasy games since 2017, right? No. But just in that, just think about this with me for a second. Let's just play this out hypothetically.
Hypothetically, for the sake of argument.
So let's say hypothetically, for the sake of the argument, okay, folks? We have these last three games, they exist. That we know what they are. They're very mythologically influenced. They have these mystical elements to them. Some are more grounded than others. And at no point in these three games has Ubisoft called them fantasy games. So the question becomes, if this game, this new one that they're definitely making and isn't a complete bullshit leak, if they're willing to call that a fantasy game, what does that mean for what the game actually is?
Yeah, and here's the confusion for me is I thought like Phoenix, whatever, Immortals Rising, like I thought that was kind of their way to take the elements of Odyssey that they really wanted to explore more and expand on, and then make it its own IP so that they didn't piss off more people.
We also know that at one point Ubisoft canceled like a full-on Arthurian legend fantasy game too. Like it was called Avalon. People were really excited about it. And then the higher ups at Ubisoft were like, what if instead we didn't do that? It's like they all want to do these things and they have to like prove themselves by doing it in an established brand first. So they all have to like muck about they have to piss in the pool of Assassin's Creed in order to get approval to make their own thing that they want to do.
It does seem as if though we got about like three different potential games that people are talking about, right? Like,
yeah.
We have a medieval France, Germany, fantasy garbage. We have the India and some parts of Pakistan, right? I don't fucking know. And then what's the third one? I'm missing the third one.
China or Japan.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we have China potential. No, wait. Wasn't there one that we read that was Japan?
That leak. And I still don't know if that's been.
Yeah. Leak.
Yeah. I keep saying leak. I mean, rumor or lie. That lie. I don't know if it got reposted. It was like intercepted by our auto moderator and it may never have gotten past it.
Right.
People may not have seen that one. Probably for the best, because it's like real fan fiction type shit.
For sure.
But out of all of these three proposed ideas, that is the one that I hope is true. So if we get into that next episode, that could be fun.
Yeah, and Noah, he's such a handsome lad. It's going to be fun to have.
What a great guy. We don't want to blow our load for that episode.
I can't believe he finally settled down, man. I mean, ugh.
He's off the market for you, Tim.
I know. I'm really pissed about that. Okay, here's something. Remember when I tweeted you, not tweeted you, when I sent you the tweet about the Xiao Jun manga? I thought that already happened. Am I losing my mind? Didn't the Xiao Jun manga already happen?
It did, but it was in another language.
But do you think this is just a translation or is it a new story?
I gotta look at it again.
Let me see if I can find it again. I mean, look, I'm never gonna read a manga, so sorry.
But, Ubisoft and Viz Media partner up for an Assassin's Creed manga.
Yeah, 3 days ago from Eurogamer.
Blade of Xiao Jun.
Man.
This is different. Oh, wait, no, it's not.
It's not different from the one that was already out.
It doesn't look like it to me.
Shit.
This is one that's coming that will be available in English.
I'm seeing in November of 2020, it says Assassin's Creed Blade of Xiao Jun manga coming in 2021. So it's possible that I was thinking about the announcement of it, but I thought there was already a Xiao Jun manga that came out like years ago.
No, you know what? There was a Chinese comic that came out that was not about Xiao Jun, and that's probably what you're thinking of. It was called Assassin's Creed Dynasty. It was not, to my knowledge, ever released in English, and it was created in China, written by Chinese authors, published in China. It never came to the U.S. or France or the UK or anything, right? So that might be what you're thinking of, because I think Xiao Jun appears as a character in that, but it's not about Xiao Jun. If that's not what you're thinking of, then you are just probably thinking of an earlier announcement for the Xiao Jun.
Right.
Manga.
Yeah, I think it could be a combination of the two. I think I might be thinking of the comic.
And I'm torn on this because, like, I mean, Xiao Jun is cool. Xiao Jun is, some would say Xiao Jun is my queen.
Don't say you love Xiao Jun. I mean, what is there to fucking love about the character anyway? Sorry, go on.
Well, what you have to understand, Tim, is that Xiao Jun is my queen.
And that's right. I'm sorry.
That's what I say all the time. And I've never heard anyone else say that.
Right.
Just kidding.
Aren't you writing a trilogy of novels about Xiao Jun?
Yeah. People know that I'm writing a trilogy of fan novels called The Blade in the Shadows. That's a thing that I'm doing that you might be familiar with.
You might have seen on Twitter.
You might have seen on Twitter. No, we're having fun. Shout outs to Sareeb _Baig. I think that's how it's pronounced. It probably isn't. He's writing a trilogy of Xiao Jun fan fictions. And I can't wait.
The first one is coming out soon.
It's coming out soon. May even be out by the time we put out this episode.
I don't know. I'm not sure if the manga is going to interrupt some of that. Maybe we'll see.
Yeah, it might. I mean, I've definitely had to cancel a fan fiction project due to a different transmedia thing coming out that would have stepped on it.
Yeah.
I've done that.
I know about that one.
Yeah. Me and Blue from Overly Sarcastic Productions had a really cool idea that we were going to write about. And then they made a Last Descendants novel. And we said, why don't we just not do this anymore? Look, here's how I feel about Xiao Jun. Let's just talk about Xiao Jun real quick. Do I have a little chat about Xiao Jun?
Yeah, sure.
All right, listen. Xiao Jun, cool character design. Embers is great. There was definitely a time in which, had they announced like a Xiao Jun full-on Chinese set Assassin's Creed game, that would have been great. Now, if they were to announce that next year or something, I would have the same reaction to it as like the Black Widow movie at Marvel. It'd be like, cool, but too late. You should have done this 5 years ago. Now I just don't care that much. And with every like transmedia announcement they make that they're doing more stuff with Xiao Jun in these comics and manga and chronicles and what have you, that feels to me like pretty solid indication, not only that they're never getting a Xiao Jun game, but also that we probably shouldn't have one anyway, because at this point, I would rather see a China game with like a completely new character. And Xiao Jun can be a side character. Xiao Jun can maybe be like the ancestor who leaves collectibles for you to find or codex pages or what have you.
That was what I was going to say, too, is I feel like if they do make a China game, it's not going to be Xiao Jun, but Xiao Jun is going to be like you can collect her sword or some shit, right? Like she's going to be a formidable assassin that everyone talks about. And she's like a legend among the Creed there. But she's not going to be present in the game necessarily.
Or, you know, they do a China game before Xiao Jun exists, and then you get little like
teases of the Jun family.
You get like Helix Rift style flash forwards because she would be like your descendant.
Yeah, and you could play
little gameplay segments as Xiao Jun in a future in a later China than the one you're in the game. Because they've talked about, I think, ancient China as being a possibility. I don't know. I'd personally rather see Japan than China in a game, maybe. I know everyone thinks that that'll be too Ghost of Tsushima-esque, but I still think it'd be cool.
I don't know too much about, like, Chinese history. I don't know, like, what ancient China looks like compared to, like, I don't know, medieval China. I mean, I have no idea, but...
This isn't the podcast for people who care about history.
Yeah, go over to OSP Production Sarcastic
Podcast. We'll ask Noah next episode OSP about history, and we'll hear what he says.
OSP Sarcastic Productions Podcast Productions.
Overly Sarcastic OSP.
Our Overly Sarcastic OSP Productions Podcast. Xiao Jun is fine. I liked her in Embers. I appreciate the little foot blade thing.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I think people fell in love with the idea of Xiao Jun. They don't know, like, they don't love the character. They love the idea. And
well, that's the thing. She's a great design.
Yeah. For a character. She's a good template, but there's not a character there.
It's like Boba Fett. Like, we just, like, thought he looked cool, and everyone confused that for thinking he was a good character.
It's exactly like Boba Fett. It's exactly like that. Literally, the Eurogamer article just said, like, fan favorite Xiao Jun. It's like, it's a fan favorite, like, character design, pretty much, as you're saying. It's not, like...
I mean, she is a fan favorite. How many people do we know with Xiao Jun avatars?
I know, but, okay, tell me, Lawson, what is a... Okay, actually, no. Yeah. I'm going to leave it to the people in the comments. List off Xiao Jun character traits, and if you can't name more than one, that is a problem.
Okay, yeah, that's a fun challenge. Tell us what defines Xiao Jun as a character beyond her aesthetic. So, hey, everybody, look, if you enjoyed this episode of the Hook Blade podcast, shout it from the mountaintops. Tell your friends who like Assassin's Creed and podcasts that they need to listen to this one. Leave a comment, leave a like, subscribe to us, hit the bell icon, tweet at us at Hook Blade. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts. These are the things that really help us out. They go a long way, and so we really appreciate when you do them. I have been the Hook. No, fuck.
No, that's not right.
I've been the Blade.
I've been the Hook.
And I've been the Blade, and we will see you on our next episode when we are joined by Mr. Nstav 13, or Noah, as we sometimes call him as well. And we will have a good time. We will talk about the leaks, the rumors, the lies.
I appreciate you guys being patient with us putting out this episode. Overall, though, we're got to be recording these again, and we've got some pretty good ideas. We still got to finish off our Unity and Syndicate replays, and Lawson's going to try and get me to play Origins, and we'll see what the fuck happens with that. But
and maybe I'll try to get him to play Odyssey.
Yeah, you're going to have to, like, blow me, like, 6 days a week.
Look, nothing's off the table, Tim. Yeah, I'm a man who gets what I want.
Overall, thank you so much for listening to us.
And I would say we'll see you next week, because that's not typically true. How we end episodes. But we're not going to see you next week. We're going to see you in 2 weeks on Tuesday.
It's really easy to remember when you say it like that.
Right? It's super helpful. So, yeah, enjoy the rest of your couple of weeks. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
The hook and the blade. So you can use one or the other. An elegant design.
Do you want to, hey, real quick, do you want to segue into this topic and talk about
sure.
it? Sure. Okay.
Hey, so Lawson, how do you feel about Assassin's Creed right now?
Hold on. I'm going to do it, okay?